It was 1-0 early in the second half, and I suppose the big talking point was the penalty that never was. It could have been a key moment. It could have changed the game, although afterwards you were gracious in defeat that Dundalk were the better team.
Yeah, I think you summed it up there. You know, in the first half, I thought we started very well. We created a lot more chances up there than we ever did. We ran our luck a little bit before half-time. Kieran Kilduff had a one-on-one chance that he put wide right on the stroke at half-time, and we got in all without playing all that well, and, you know, it was still a good position to be in. The start of the second half, I think, was a throw-in where Patrick McElhinney back-heeled the ball into Dan Massey's path, and Kieran Gavin made a great save, but it fell, well, it more or less ricocheted off Robbie Benson to put them 1-0 up. But straight from the kick-off, I think it's probably our biggest complaint. If we have a complaint, we went straight from the kickoff where Paddy McCord played in Sean Houston. When he was about to pull the trigger inside the area, Sean Gannon caught him. Like, it was possibly a sudden off offence had Brian Gartner not been covering, but he caught him in the wrong side on the heel, and unfortunately Sean had to come off shortly after that. But how the referee didn't see it is beyond me. I didn't see, there was nobody in his way looking at it on the video footage. But look, when you're down there, those decisions don't go your way, but I'm not quite sure how he missed this one. I looked for decisions left, right and centre that might be 50-50. This one was maybe short of outrageous, but to be fair, from there on, Dundalk were by far the better side and ran out much more worthy winners in the end. But yeah, that is our only complaint. Is it much to go on? Possibly not. You know, would we have held on at 1-1? It's hard to know, but certainly it was one of those that I can't see any reasoning why it wasn't given.
Yeah, so obviously an element of frustration there. Also, Ali, I mean, you've seen that, you know, you did fairly well in the first half, but certainly their third and their fourth goals, from a defensive point of view, things could have been a little bit better.
Yeah, I mean, look, Killian Cantwell himself, with the second goal killed us, Chris. Had we kept it at 1-0 regardless of that penalty decision, you know, you don't know what way it would have gone in the end. Killian made a poor mistake for the second goal. David McMillan won a tackle on him and went on and finished. And to be fair, for the last 20 minutes, there was a big gulf in class, in strength, in possibly fitness as well. And like anyone that says Dundalk have gone away, they must certainly have him, Chris. And they are a credit to everybody involved with them. Look, we're clutching at straws, picking on the penalty, but yeah, without doubt, anyone that watched it on the television, you know, anybody with any knowledge will understand that it was an out-and-out penalty. But I'm harping on one goal. Would that have meant it was 4-1? Maybe that's all that it would have meant.
When you look at the goal difference could be important come the end of the season, and I suppose slightly worrying to have conceded the 4.
Yeah, look, it could have been more in the last 20 minutes, and yes, we could have got back to 1-1. It could have been a different situation. But, you know, when the heads go down away from home and the second goal goes in, there's no way back. And to be fair to some of them, not all of them, they dug in and kept it to the level it was at. You know, until the second goal, there was a chance of getting something out of it. When the second goal gets in, you're not going to go to score 2 in 20 minutes away in Dundalk, to put it that way, do you? But to be fair, you know, had we taken our chances in the first half, it might have been a different outcome. But getting beaten 4-0, you put your hand up, and 4-0 is 4-0, whatever way you look at it, Chris. Yeah.
And you touched on it there, the physicality, the fitness. Again, perhaps one of the reasons, the difference between having a club with full-timers and a club with part-timers.
Yeah, there is that, but this didn't happen overnight with Dundalk. This has gone on for the last 3 or 4 years, and you can see the work that they've done in the gym alone. To be fair to our lads, you know, of what stage we're at that, I'm not quite sure. But you know, we've always used them as the benchmark. Maybe Cork are the benchmark at the moment. But, like, you know, unless people buy into it and do their own work, which, to be fair to our lads, they're on that road, but it doesn't happen overnight. And in Dundalk's case, you know, it's been going on for the last 3 or 4 years with these lads, and you saw the result of that last night.
Yeah. Looking ahead, Ollie, well, you'll have one eye perhaps on that game Limerick and St. Pat's this evening, but the bottom five, there's just 3 points between you. I mean, we all knew it was going to be a dogfight. Maybe Limerick could edge away. Do you think it could just be the bottom five battling to avoid those three places?
I think we'd be quite happy with that. I said that to you before. You know, if it's five, if it's four, brilliant. You know, so long as we're in that, and there's ones around us, as I said, for us, the last thing we need is for us to drift away, Chris, on that basis. Whether Limerick will kick on or not, I'm not quite sure. You know, I think there's one or two of the bottom four or five that might be in a false position in the window come next month. They may improve. So, like as I said to you before, I think we need improve as well. And that poses its own difficulties.
Yeah. Now, next weekend, you were due to play Derry City. That game has been postponed because of their involvement in the Europa League, and they are entitled to have a postponement. But from a Harps point of view, financially not least, certainly a pity it couldn't have been rescheduled for Sunday. But that's where we are. It's far from ideal. And the European matches caused disruption last year, and it's a source of frustration.
Yeah, just to clarify a few things there, Chris. Look, if we were in Derry City's shoes, we wouldn't want a game, and I totally understand that, but we're not. We're very much in the Finn Harps camp, and, you know, financially, we needed that game, be it on Sunday, whatever. I totally understand, and football reasons, Derry City are totally right in not trying to play it. No, I think the little bit of knowledge I have is that there was a rule that stated that the game should go ahead on Sunday, but the league director overruled that. And fair enough, we've no problem with it. And I wish Derry City and I wish Kenny Shields the very best of luck. But we have to fight our own corner for obvious reasons. And, you know, we're a club that probably are too dependent on gates as opposed to, yes, we have some sponsorship. I mean, yes, we have some fundraising, but we're probably too dependent on our gates to try and go from week by week with not just the senior team, with the under-17s that are playing here at the moment, the under-19s that are playing tomorrow, and the under-15s that start next month. And, you know, probably it's as good a time for people to try and get behind us, be it the corporate sector in the Northwest, in Donegal in particular, if they can help out. You know, we're crying out for it, Chris. And, look, we're still in the Premier Division. If we're to survive this year, you could stay in it many, many years. If we're to go down this year, I think we could be out of it for many, many years. You know, there are fine margins, and we're just on that margin at the moment.
Yeah, and just looking at the way the fixtures panned out and you had the summer break, I mean, we're talking one home game, which was against Shamrock Rovers last week, in the space of 7 weeks. So, you know, that shows to people, like, obviously you're dependent on the money at the gate to a large degree, but when you've only one home game in a seven-week period, you don't need to be a mathematician to work out it doesn't add up.
No, I mean, look, some of us, we can put our hand up and say, yeah, you know, we need to improve on and off the pitch. I accept that. But the other side of it is, you know, both Derry and Cork, I heard you allude to it before I came on, the year there, they played last night. How the league knew who were in Europe before the whole fixtures were set out. It's an awful pity they didn't put Derry and Cork to play each other next Friday. And that freed the two of them up to play in Europe, and it didn't, you know, infringe in any other side. I just think that, you know, there's a little bit of work to be done maybe in the organisation of it also. This happened with us last year, as you said, with St. Pat's, with Cork and with Dundalk. Everybody knew who's in Europe before the season fixtures came out. So maybe there's a lesson to be learned at that level also, that the people and teams that are playing in Europe, you play them against each other on the weekends that the first round of the Europa League is on, at least.